it just cuts off like that. It needs to like go down. Hey, 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 hey. How's everybody doing? How's everybody doing? Hello, hello, hello. Man, I'm reading already the comments. Welcome to an edition of the Mexican Soccer Show Live. It's been a while. I know I haven't been on here for a while. I've been traveling. Cesar, Adriana, I don't remember the last time we were all on, and apologize to all of you that have been waiting for an episode, pero empezamos, empezamos. Adriana, hello, how's it going? I think you're on mute. I think
yeah,
you're
that,
on
that
mute.
Was bound to happen. Yeah.
There you go.
I was saying, I think the last time we were on was Cruz Azul had 8 stars on their jersey last time.
Ooh.
So.
Dun, dun, dun. Congratulations. Congratulations. Good, good, good to see you jumping on. Mr. Cesar, yeah. We already talked about this last time we were on. We got haircuts. Yeah. We, yeah, so.
Oh, yeah. Smooth, guys. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It was kind of funny. Yeah, like Wes and I talked about, just like we like let our hair grow out at the same time. And then I think the same week that I decided to cut my hair, we still cut it. It's like the same week. But yeah, but glad to be back. I think, were we just waiting for Mexico to get 2 wins in a row? Was that what it was? We can't come back after just 1 win. Just make sure everything's fine after getting 2 wins.
Saying hello to everybody who's already on the chat. Marcelo Espinosa said first. How, I'm trying to figure out because I didn't even go live and Marcelo was on. Oh, I think it's maybe the YouTube. It gets a notification and then you're on. So good for you, Marcelo, for joining on. Golazo's at second. Joanna Sanchez, who's been a longtime listener and watcher of the show right there. So if you're watching on wherever you're at and you want to comment, we'd definitely love the comments on here. We put them on. Just like we'll give Marcelo's first a kind and we can be able to show them and hide them. But saying hello to everybody, calling it now already. Mexico does not make it to the World Cup. Man, we're so spicy today.
We haven't even gotten to the Gold Cup yet. Come on.
We haven't started qualifiers yet.
Already. How we doing, compadres? From Luis G. Alex De La Rosa says hello. And, oh my goodness, we have Janelli Farias who's saying hello. A player, professional player. I think this is the first time we had a professional player on our show. I mean, like commenting on our show or watching us.
Potentially, yeah. Very exciting. Hi, Janelli. Hello. Thank
hello,
you.
Janelli.
Yeah.
Hello, 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 hello.
Hi, Janelli.
Good French. All right. We have a great, great show talking all about Gold Cup and the national team. Taking a break from Liga MX, even though it's right around the corner. Yes, Janelli Farias is making history, like always. Always.
Like usual.
One more time.
But we have lots and lots and lots to talk about. Lots of games with L3. We're right smack in the middle. And so we're here. For those of you asking, Miss Amy Lopez is taking a break from joining on the podcast, but I'm sure she's producing somewhere. She hasn't said hello in the last 10 minutes, so I wonder where she's at.
Should we be worried?
Yeah, usually she's like, hey, what else does she have to do? It's Monday in the night. Like she should be here. Anyway, let's just jump right in with the game that happened, obviously, over the weekend. And in the past couple of games that we haven't talked about, and then we'll jump into the Gold Cup. But first, before we even jump into the men's, really quick, Adriana, you're on. We got to witness a day. Let's talk just really quick about the Selección Femenil, who did not have the greatest of showing, at least in the first half, I think. But what can you give us a little wraparound, a little bit of what happened? Mexico versus the U.S., the greatest female team in the planet. and could we see just a little bit of improvement? You've watched many of these games. Many people are wondering, okay, is it still the same? Have we gotten some improvement just regarding the female athletes?
Okay. I mean, first of all, we have to look at this like with the due context of what everything that's going on. You have the U.S. World Cup winning Olympic bound team. And then you have Monica Vergara's 6 month into the job team, still kind of figuring out what players she wants to call up, where she wants them to play. Players still getting the hang of things. Janelli, by the way, if you're still here, I do think they need a little help in defense. So, you know.
There it is.
Yeah. please stand by your phone because I'm pretty sure you're going to get a call any minute now. I think the thing is, mentally, we still kind of struggle against teams like the U.S. And I really don't think it was wise facing Japan less than a month ago, another World Cup winning team. And then Danielle says she's ready. I'm pretty sure she is.
I think that's the first too. We're talking about a player needing she's ready. Calling him out. Making history here.
Yeah. I really don't think it was, I really appreciate the Federation getting all these friendlies and just, I mean, again, we've spoken about this so many times, Amy and I in the pod. We almost had an entire year without any activity on the senior squad, which was just amazing. Every single other team in the national team, whether it was the men, the youth and the women's side, except the senior women's side had activity last year, despite the pandemic. Something happened on the senior side. And then, Christopher Cuellar left and it was, I think it was close to 11 months without a single game or a single, practice, call up, just anything you want. So we kind of lost a year there, to be honest. And that's, at least that's what I think. So then, Monica Vergara gets the project, starts off really well against Costa Rica, getting a victory at the Estadio Azteca, which was just great. But then, we have these games in Europe against Slovakia, against Spain. And then we face two World Cup champions, both at home. I mean, for them. So we had Japan and then we had two games against the US. Not entirely sure if that was mentally the way to go. I mean, I really do appreciate the fact that they're getting these games. They're really getting top level competition. Maybe it just wasn't the way to go because you're still looking into what players you want to call up, what who's going to be, you know, like that spinal column of your team. So I do think it puts some of the players at a disadvantage because mentally you're facing these powerhouses, right? Japan, you're facing the U.S. and you face Spain that had such an amazing World Cup as well. So I'm not entirely sure that was the way to go. I understand why they did it. And obviously we don't want to complain too much because then they're like, oh, okay, you didn't have any friendlies and now we give you friendlies and now you're still complaining, but it's not what we really want. But I do think lots of things to be just taken into account for Monica Vergara. I really think that after these games, now she probably has a huge understanding of what players she wants to call up, looking into qualifiers at the end of the year. Apparently we have FIFA games in September. So I'm guessing that's when we're going to start seeing the actual squad. Maybe just a few tweaks here and there, depending on the rival, depending on the game. But I do think people just shouldn't like be just thinking, oh my God, we made a mistake. We're not going anywhere with this.
Yeah.
I'd be pretty calm about it. Just thinking about it was a really huge exercise. You can't expect to have an entire senior squad in 6 months. I mean, you really can't. So. Yeah. Yeah, so just take it, you know, with a grain of salt. And hopefully, I think that the next couple of weeks, lots of players going back with their teams, starting off the season in less than a month. I mean, well, actually, like less than 2 weeks, actually. And then just seeing how they adapt to the league. We're getting foreign players for the first time in the league as well this semester. Just see what they can bring along and how much they can also add to the level of the league. And then I'm guessing in September, now we're going to start seeing a more competitive team because I think Monica Vergara probably just did as many experiments as she wanted and probably needed at this point.
Yeah, I mean, Adriana put it perfectly right there. And I think that once again, something that needs to be reiterated is the context of where Mexico is at. Like Adriana said, this is a team in transition right now. It's under a new manager, the context, of course, of the opponent that they're facing, you know, whether it be the U.S. women's national team or also Japan recently. So I think that's also very important. And like Adrian said, too, I think for me, I think as someone, supports, Mexican soccer, Mexican women's soccer and the men's side, I'm more worried about, and I will be keeping a little bit of a closer eye and maybe analyzing a bit more what's going to be happening later on this year, like Adrian said, with World Cup qualifiers. I think that's the big test right there. That's what I'm will be, truly worried about, what I'll be truly keeping an eye on. But I think for these games against the U.S. women's national team, you just got to keep that, have that context in mind of the opponent and where LTD Femenil is at right now.
Well, there you go. Thank you, Adriana. Thank you, Cesar. It's hard when you lose, especially to a rival, but at the same time, it's just the U.S. I mean, it's seeing them play, and I watched the whole game, and just they're ahead of everyone else in the world. I really like the fact that there were some times where Mexico did compete, which I didn't see that before. We had some players on a personal level that I thought were even better than the U.S. Right? In some instances, we're like, wow, this is a different Mexico team with a lot of talent. Now let's put it together. And you said it, Adriana, coming in September, the qualifiers are right around the corner. Hoping to get that ticket to the World Cup. That's where we're going to see. It's a good way to go. Tough losses, but I think they're going to learn a lot, and hopefully Monica learns a lot from this. So I will keep it going. There's a big plug for Adriana and Amy, who has a great podcast. If you're new here, the Mexican Soccer Show, It's called Our Football Podcast, usually every week. But yeah, be on the lookout for him tweeting through the Mexican Soccer Show. They do an amazing job with everything Liga MX Femenil and also El Tri Femenil. And they also discuss the men's side. So it's a
podcast on we throw them a bone, as Amy says.
Throw them a bone. All right, let's talk El Tri. Lots have happened before last time we were all on. You know, obviously there's a Gold Cup that's coming up. The Gold Cup roster comes in. So where do you guys want to start?
From Funes Mori.
Funes Mori? We start with Funes Mori? If everyone's talking about Funes Mori? Yeah. All right, here it is. Funes Mori, obviously, big controversy of the talk, the naturalizados talk. Felt like we kind of, when was the last time in Naturalizado we were talking about someone naturalized before? Was it Chaco? Was
it Chaco? So. Chaco. I think so, yeah.
I think it was
yeah.
Chaco. And it's remember like with Eriksson? Do you remember Eriksson called up like three? Like Damian, Leandro... Yeah, I think Signeget, yeah, like Signeget was there before, but I think he called him back. I think
it goes back to the conversation that's like, you know what? Why do we need other players if we have talent? If we have the young guys coming through, but specifically for this time around, we have no strikers right now.
Like, we do,
but they're not going to be available for the Gold Cup, right? From injuries to whatever's happening,
they could be.
To the Olympics, like, you know, I feel like at least today, anybody that's saying that we don't need Funes Mori, I don't see it. Like, this is a player that is good. This is a player that has a quality that we don't have, especially like as a number nine. So I want to hear your thoughts. Yeah. He's called to the Gold Cup. Not only that, he scored, but are you, I guess two questions. One, are you feeling like one is warranted, which I hopefully you think you do, but at the same time, is he our answer pretty much?
I mean, of course. I mean, if he's Mexican, he's Mexican. You know, he has a citizenship. You know, like that's truly you know, what matters right there. And it's really, really unfortunate to see some of the arguments that some people have made, you know, against him, who are been trying to belittle him. And it was a little unfortunate too at the Coliseum, because I was at the game where Mexico, you know, beat Nigeria 4-0 when they were announcing the starting 11. And of course, you know, Chucky got like the biggest applause. But when they announced Funes Mori's name, I'm not going to say all of the fans. I'm not going to say half the fans, but there was like a vocal minority who kind of booed, maybe some like negative whistling. And that was pretty unfortunate to hear. But what was nice about that game was that he immediately shut them up.
3 minutes in.
I wonder if those guys actually did that, right? I mean,
yeah, he immediately shut them up. And what was cool too is that like maybe, I don't know, I might have missed someone else who might have done it, but from the press box after the game, he was the last player to leave the field too. Even though like he got some boos, even though he got some like some jeering from the stands, he was the last player to leave the field. He was taking pictures and signing autographs with fans. So I don't know. It's just it's nice to see him silence his doubters, I guess you'll say, so quickly. And I thought he had a great performance. I thought he was excellent. And I think he is exactly who Mexico is going to need in this Gold Cup, considering the options, considering that he is 100% eligible and that he is Mexican. You know, I don't know why people are denying that he has the paperwork. He did what he needed to do. I think he's great. Yeah.
There's two conversations with the whole naturalizados. One, the conversation did, okay, did they just do it to get a spot and try to go to the World Cup, right? And like there is something there where it's like, well, you know, do they really want to go? And I can see a little argument there. Don't get me wrong, right? There is. Yeah. Imagine if like 11 naturalizados came in and they weren't, you know, they come to the league, they did whatever they needed to do just to be in a World Cup roster. And you kind of be like, all right, it does feel, because this is about your nation, I can see it to the extent where, okay, but when there is a person that's been in the league that has, you know, that did the paperwork, that did everything they could do and is okay by FIFA to go, and not only that, is going to help the team. Like, I'd understand it. If it was somebody that was just, like, didn't help the team, then yeah, okay. Like, there shouldn't be any problem with Funes Mori because we don't have anybody like him. He's a good player. I think above, you know, most of the players that are out there that are playing, as far as Henry Martin, I would say Funes Mori is above, you know, that we have. Pulido, I'd say Funes Mori is above. So why not, you know, have somebody like him? But Adriana, to you, is he the answer? And what do you see happening with him in the Gold Cup?
I think he's the best answer probably at this point. I mean, just looking into what players we have available, and it was just amazing because we had Pulido getting injured as well was sporting mm-hmm. Kansas City. And yeah, I was like, oh my God, there goes another one, right? So I don't know if he's the best answer, but he's definitely the one that's most available and in at the right moment and at the right time, right? So I have no problem, obviously, with him being called up. He's as Mexican as any of us. So, I mean, he did the paperwork. I only worry about what it means when we have to call up another player and when we have to struggle so much to find a player, no, disregarding the fact that he got the citizenship or whatever, because if we don't really have any more players, that's what I'm worried about. If you look at how much they've struggled with the Olympic squad, with the senior squad, you would think it's not something we would struggle that much with, right? And you were looking at, oh my God, who's going to be that player that's going to go to reinforce like the U24 squad for the Olympics? It was Henry Martin. Not the Oribe that we saw in 2012, probably. I mean, not a bad striker either, but still probably we would expect maybe someone just a little bit better.
Before the 2012, Oribe wasn't Oribe.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Well, he made him.
Yeah, that's true. He came in actually in a dry spell.
Exactly like Oribe. Like he probably will go there and watch have Henry Martin have a really great tournament run. Like if they go deep,
hopefully, yeah.
You know,
but if you look at that, you're looking at them, then you're like, you've got Henry Martin. Like looking like strikers, you've got Pulido, okay. You've got Martin, okay. You've got Macias. Not available, but he wasn't like Macias was on the field, and I'm a Chivas fan. It wasn't like he was on the field and you were thinking, yes, he's on the field. We're going to get those goals. He's not in that position right now. I mean, I hope he does now that he's going off to Getafe, but he wasn't really in that amazing like streak, right? Alexis Vega, not really. So the thing is, you have all these players that are really okay strikers, right? At an okay moment and not someone that comes in like, in a hot spell, you know, like Chicharito is at the moment with Galaxy. That's what was worrying me. And I was like, if these guys aren't available, like who else is? I mean, you look at the league and there really isn't anybody else. Mm-hmm. That's what worries me. It's not like you have like a really young player coming in, like what we thought of, I don't know, Carlos Fierro at the moment, right? When he was with the U17s and we were thinking, oh my God, if we follow with this guy, he might just be that guy we need for the national team. No, he isn't. So that's what I'm looking at. I'm looking back at like the other U23s or U20s and you're like, there's nobody. Like something is wrong creating those strikers.
And I think from those options that people will bring up, there's still question marks. You know, some people probably say like, oh, why didn't we bring up, you know, Santi, you know, Ormeño. And for me personally, you know, even though he chose a different national team, I think there are a lot of question marks over him. If you didn't get so many goals from penalty kicks, I don't know if we'd be having the same conversation about him that we've had in recent months. And even with some of the younger players too, yes, there is a lot of, you know, potential for some young options that people could bring up, but they're still a little inconsistent there. A lot of those younger names still, I don't know, maybe need a little bit more time. And I think more than anything else, I think just in the same way that we've seen it with Wolves, I think it says a lot about the importance that Raul Jimenez has for club and country more than anything else. We've learned, you know, just how truly important he is for Wolves and for El Tri. The good news is he's reporting back to preseason training with Wolves. Reports are saying that he might be able to return to the upcoming season, so fingers crossed that he'll be able to get regular minutes with him in the upcoming season. But that said, he's not gonna be involved in the Gold Cup. And we'll see.
Hopefully for qualifiers. Hopefully.
Hopefully, yeah. Fingers crossed. And of course, with these kinds of things, like with his head injury, you don't want to rush it. As much as a fan, like I want him to return to the field, you don't want to rush something that serious. So
See what everybody is saying. Funes Mori is a great value of Jimenez. Great value version of Jimenez. Somewhere in there.
Is it the Kirkland signature?
The Kirkland signature. Costco, Santiago Munoz is going to be a superstar. I mean, we have, and just like you said, right, there's
Munoz too. Yeah, he's a good young player, but I still think he needs a little more time. I think he needs a little more time before he could be like a crucial player for the senior national team.
Definitely. I mean, something's very wrong when you have to find a striker from a different country to play for your national team. I think, Adriana, you said it, right? You know, it's the fact that we don't have anybody. Now we have Funes Mori. By the way, Funes Mori has been it's not like all of a sudden we needed somebody and Funes Mori was like, I'm available. There's been talk about Funes Mori for a while. In fact, even from last year that he's been wanting to play. Yeah, and it took a while. It's not, it wasn't a month over. Like, you have to get your papers and you have to spot, you have to have FIFA approval. Then you have to, you know, I think there was some speeding up process people were complaining about, but it just happened right before the Gold Cup, and now it's there. So
he has his paperwork. He lives in Mexico. Like, what? Like, he plays for Mexican. Someone broke into his house in Mexico. Like, that guy's been through a lot. Like, and still people are criticizing
him. Family, the kids that are Mexican, I think, is his wife or something. Maybe.
I know his son is now. I know Funes Mori's younger kid is Mexican born. Yeah. Yeah, now we have to be specific. We were talking about the younger players, but I mean, we were talking about Munoz right now. I mean, I was just looking at, like, how old is he? I could remember he was like U20. Yeah, he's still U20. He's 18.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, still a long way to go. And actually now with, I hope, with the change in system, because they did it with the league, we had a U17, a U20 team, and then we have like no U23. Somehow we expect players to make that jump from U20 to senior team level. There's like no in between, right?
Yeah.
There is for national team, but there's no for the league. So maybe we should look into that. Now they're switching it over to U16 and U18 and then U20. So I don't know entirely if that's going to be a big change. Hopefully it will, having like 2-year separation between those divisions. But there's definitely something goes on between the U20s and the senior team that's just not working. And usually you had all these teams, all these, these first division teams had like an expansion team, you know, with the Ascenso, even with the second division, which we really rarely talk about, they had that other team. And that's where they sent all those U21s, 22s, 23s, and then they would just switch them back and forth with the senior team. And that's where they got that experience. And lots of teams don't have that anymore, right? You had America with Socio Aguila, you had Pumas with Pumas Morelos, Cruz Azul, Cruz Azul Hidalgo, which I think, by the way, just disappeared or something. They did something with that team. And now you don't have that. So maybe that's where we're struggling so much. I mean, Chivas has Tapatío, fortunately. Hopefully that'll just have some like good results after a couple of years. But so many teams don't have that support with the U20s, like U23s. Maybe that's what we're missing, right? That growth for players. And that's why some of them just don't make them at senior team level.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. Agreed.
All right, Funes Mori talk is going to be there. How many goals did he score in the Gold Cup, Cesar Adriana? And people in the chat, let me hear your responses. How many goals does Funes Mori score in the Gold Cup? It'd be interesting to see who's got the most goals.
Five.
I'll go with six.
Five. See, this is pretty high. Five,
well,
six.
Well, with all due respect, like the group stage is.
But even
I wouldn't expect less.
I'm gonna expect like four goals, three to four.
Paying 100.
I'm expecting 3 to 4 goals in the group stage, and then after that.
It'll just depend.
We don't have. Let's see. If anybody in the chat can go look and see who has the record for most. Gold in the Gold Cup, and let's see what it is.
We'll see. It's gonna be like Luis Hernandez or something.
Yeah. Oh, you know, maybe you know, Oribe.
Maybe Sague. I remember Sague scoring like a lot of goals, but I don't know if it was this. All right, so we got six. Sup is saying 9. Like, so everyone's saying a lot of goals. These are a lot of goals.
Actually, maybe Gio is. Maybe is there a chance of? No, maybe not Gio. I'm not sure. Yeah.
No, I don't think it's Gio.
4, 6. Look at all that. Marcos Martinez is saying 6. That's a lot of goals. So,
but, I mean, but the thing is like when you're bringing it back to that game against Nigeria, I know it was Nigeria's like, what was it? It was like their C squad. It wasn't exactly their best roster out there. But when you look at that front line, it was really exciting to see Funes Mori, Chucky on the left wing, Tecatito on the right wing. And I don't know, they were really dangerous. Even behind them, you know, Ache and Eric Gutierrez, like, they look fantastic. I was very, very impressed by them.
11.
And, yeah. But I was very, very impressed by them in the game against Nigeria. And yeah, I think they're gonna do a lot of damage in the Gold Cup.
So Landon Donovan has 18 goals, Clint Dempsey has 13 goals, and Andres Guardado has 12 goals. But that's an all-time.
Oh, all-time. I was going to say, like.
Yeah, yeah. The goal scorer, Liga Goals Cup, all-time.
Oh,
scorer.
Yeah, all-time is Donovan. That's true.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely Donovan.
Single tournament is Sague with 11.
Is Sague with 11? Single tournament. Right,
yeah, I think so. I just looked it up, like Googled it quickly, and yeah, I think it's Sague with 11.
I would think, because I remember Sague scoring like 6 in one in one against somebody. It was,
that must have been like one of those turns. Yeah, where we won like 8-0 against against some side.
Amy showed up, by the way.
Everybody.
Amy showed up with 312. All right. Well, we'll see. I guess
that's an area code. They said
Saga's got the record with 11. Maybe another one would be how many goals somebody has scored like in the last like 20 years. You know, that would see, you know, Chicharito or even Jimenez, but we'll see. All right, let's talk Gold Cup.
Really quickly before we move on to Gold Cup, shout out to all the fans who have not been doing the goalkeeper chant. Thank you. Thank you. Please,
that's
please,
amazing.
Like continue to make that progress. Yeah, and I remember when I was watching at home the Nashville game, and I was like, all right, cool, well done. But I was like, but when I go to the LA game, I was like, all right, for sure, I'm gonna hear it. Okay. And I was like mentally,
I was pretty nervous as well. I was like, oh my god, it's LA, it's like an extension of Azteca, and I was like, oh god.
But I was there in person. I didn't hear it a single time. Did not.
I thought they were gonna joke with it because there's this thing they do with like a Luis Miguel song, and they'll start off the same, you know, like and then they'll start singing. I was like, oh my god, they're gonna be playing with that. They're gonna start doing something like that.
Yeah. So that was really good to see. Also, that like even though I saw some tweets about isolated incidents, and I mean those aren't confirmed. It was just tweets. And although it's saddens me to say that it'd be progress to have isolated. That's still big progress because I mean we've all been to Mexico. Recent years, just like the stadium booming in unison when it comes to goalkeeper chants. So for me to not hear it, for full 90 minutes in LA, and to see someone like waving a pride flag as well, I think it was within the PVA section. Like that's huge. Yeah, that's, I don't know. Yeah. I thought that was definitely
significant. I was still kind of missing. We need like something like very Mexican to just like substitute that. I mean, obviously nothing will get us into trouble, but I was like, it's just so colorful. Do you guys remember the foie? That was a big thing.
Yeah, the foie.
That was amazing. We should just keep that.
You know, for some of you know, I work a lot with the fans, with PBA, with supporters groups. And for this LA, you know, working with even security, with the FMF, having conversations of what we could do, getting, you know, I was in Nashville in front of like a lot of the fans and letting them know how, you know, people shouldn't do it. And it takes everybody.
We kind of lost you in that sea of people. You're about to disappear at some point.
we're trying to do a lot, you know, and, it comes from all different types of angles, from, you know, on the field to, you know, even Hector Herrera before the game, Memo Ochoa before the game and after the game, thanking the fans. That's three, just like you said, Cesar, there were some isolated incidents, you know, some people said, oh, I heard it here, but there was also an incident where somebody's like, hey, I tried to start the chant and nobody would do it. Like that was also on Twitter. Somebody said that, like my cousin, idiot cousin, tried to chant it and nobody joined in. I think finally, at least, you know, they've gotten the message to stop. The people that are going to do it are either going to be doing it because they're trying to be funny or the game is going totally wrong. You know, we didn't hear it in Denver until like later in the game when the U.S. was winning. So I think people have gotten the message, and congratulations to all you fans that were there, because I think you're finally going like, all right, let's stop. Like we're done.
Yeah.
Like let's do it. And from all the efforts. So yeah, congratulations to LA. We'll see what happens. You know, here comes the Gold Cup. It's Dallas is the last time they heard it for the full stadium. It was at the AT&T Stadium. That was like when everyone did it too. So, and we'll see how it is. But I think it'll continue to be a topic, and we'll see what happens. Gold Cup right around the corner on Saturday, July 10th. First game is in Arlington there at AT&T Stadium. We don't have who we're facing yet, right?
Yeah, no. I think it's gonna be the winner of Trinidad Tobago. I think it's gonna be the winner of Trinidad Tobago and French Guyana tomorrow. Is that a plug now? Is that gonna be on? I feel like you've been showing the gold.
Man, I think so. Yeah, I think in the U.S. actually.
All right.
It's gonna get confusing at some point. That's even more confusing now. But yeah, the thing is, you're gonna be able to watch it somewhere.
Somewhere.
Should be able to watch it. What are you expecting? First, before we talk about obviously, you know, Mexico and the Gold Cup, let's talk about who's going to be in the Gold Cup and the type of opposition. I saw the Gold Cup list from the U.S., which is, I put on my calendar, Gold Cups, at least there are no other tournaments. Yeah, Mexico's taking the Olympics, but we should still have a competitive team. It won't be like, you know, I know some of the players in the Olympic squad could be starting on the starting 11, but this is our competitive. The U.S. took us away from the Nations League. And then we see that the U.S. isn't taking any other Europeos because Pulisic is out there stomping on, you know, on fish and doing whatever he's doing on boats. But were you a little surprised that the U.S. is not taking this?
I was very surprised. Why would they like sacrifice a really good tournament where they just won the CONCACAF Nations League against Mexico? Why not go against them again? Why risk losing it just because you're sending a less experienced squad? I don't understand why the priority. You're not going to the Olympics, so why just miss out on the summer, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying I would have done the same thing. I'm not like justifying this decision, but I think the explanation from Berhalter, I saw at a press conference, he said there was like a number of different factors why they didn't bring their European players, but they were saying that what was happening was that like a lot of these players, these young American players abroad, they kind of want to find their, you know, their footing, their place, within their European sides, and that it'd be beneficial for them to be involved with their European teams, as opposed to being involved in the Gold Cup, because the priority is more of World Cup qualifying and they want their players to be, I guess you could say they kind of like in a better spot with their club teams before World Cup qualifying.
So that's,
I'm not saying I would do the same thing. Yeah.
That's two things. That's one, are they afraid that they need to be in with their, you know, they want to be in good with their teams? Like that's one, like, hey, I feel like I need to be in my preseason because it's tough competition and I want to keep playing, right? Which, okay, on a personal level, you could do that. Carlos Vela did it. You know, many players did it. We're like, hey, I kind of want to focus on my team. Fine, right? But then that's taking you away with playing with the team and playing against the opposition that is going to be in qualifiers. Like, these aren't friendlies. It'd be different if it was like a friendly. This is your actual tournament where teams are going to want to win. And this, what better way to play that team now than before the qualifiers, where you're not going to know anything? You know, these players have not played a Gold Cup against CONCACAF teams. And as much as everyone thinks that our region is bad and just, you know, horrible teams, it's not an easy thing. Mexico will find a way to struggle. The U.S. will find a way to struggle, even if we have your A teams. But I was really, really surprised. One, as a fan, because as soon as we beat the U.S. in the final, it's going to be like the 2009 Gold Cup, right? Oh, well, we sent our B team. Regardless, you won, you know, lost 5-0. Now we're going to have to wait till the qualifiers to beat the U.S. The rivalry will continue, I guess.
There will be no lack of Mexico versus United States games in the near future. There will be no lack. It'll be fine. If fans are worried about not facing the U.S. Or the best U.S. team,
they'll make it happen. Qualifiers will make it happen.
There's gonna be no lack of games. Don't worry.
True. And then the MLS Liga MX will kind of make it happen.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, just head over to LA on August 25th. Yeah.
The CONCACAF Nations League will kind of make that happen as well.
We got the League's Cup.
I think this is gonna hurt them. I honestly think this is gonna hurt the U.S. for not playing its squad. Because
it'll be interesting. Yeah,
this is a good time to have your team to play competitive matches against the CONCACAF region, to know those teams, and then those players do not know how to play in El Salvador. Do not know how to play, you know. And I'm not saying that they're going to get the experience now, but fine. I think it makes it easier for us. One, we'll win the momentum going into the qualifiers. Hopefully, we have a team. The Olympics, you know, will be done, and then the qualifiers will start. So.
Let's also not get ahead of ourselves either. This, as you mentioned, there's no guarantee it's going to be Mexico, United States, and the final either. We've seen numerous times that Mexico.
I don't think it will. I don't think it'll be Mexico, U.S.
Ooh, okay.
Really?
All right. What is it? Are you making a prediction right now?
No, but either. Okay. I'm going to stick that it won't be Mexico, U.S. In the final.
Okay. I think it will. I guess that's easy bet is for me to say. That's not a hot take to say it'll be.
US A team could not beat Costa Rica until like the 87th minute. Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
No. I think.
Yeah.
No, I think the, I think it's easy for casual Mexico and U.S. fans to say that it'll be a Mexico-United States final. But yeah, we only have to look at any other like recent games that Mexico's had against CONCACAF opposition, that you know, the U.S. has had against CONCACAF opposition. You'll find numerous examples of them struggling against these sides. So I mean, so I think so what the U.S. are doing, obviously it's a little bit of risk. I think you can make pros and cons, pros and cons list for what they're doing, but we'll see how all three do it. I think when you consider that it'll be El Salvador, Curacao, and I mean, I'm guessing more than likely it'll be Trinidad and Tobago, although maybe it'll be French Guiana. I mean, there are no excuses for them not to get out of this, get out of this group. And
easily, to be honest.
Yeah, no excuses at all whatsoever. And I think, like usual,
tie against like Guatemala in the second game. Like, I'm it's not going to be a walk in the park. I think people always say that. It's like, it'll take a while. There's three games in 1 week. That's another thing. Saturday, Wednesday, Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, in eight days. So it's, you're going to have rotaciones. You're going to have, you know, hopefully.
Just look at like all the baggage so many players are going to have because of all the activity they've had during the summer. I mean, you probably had what, like 2-3 weeks off actual vacation, coming back and preseason, national team, traveling, coming back. I think they're probably going to have at least 2 weeks, but then we're going to start off the entire Liga MX tournament without the U24s and then without the senior side. And I think they're going to come back probably a couple of weeks later because you don't want to risk injury just because you overwork them as well. Right. Yeah. And then, I mean, our calendar is pretty packed for next season because you have so many qualifiers and we were used to having two games for every FIFA like date on the calendar. Now it's going to be three.
Yeah.
So it's really, really packed for the national games? Team players.
Yeah. Remember last time we had three games in World Cup qualifying during the calendar season, it was Chepo de la Torre in the first three games, which was Jamaica, where
it was two away games, right? Or something like that.
Two away games, three games, one home game, two away games. We tied three away games in 1 week. In the World Cup.
Yeah, that's when we had like this terrible streak. That's when things started getting.
A good friend, writer Jolie, wrote an article on why that qualifier wasn't necessarily Chepo. It was the fact that the schedule was three games first, then two, and then three again. And Mexico was the only team that played three games because they were going to the World Cup, to the Confederations Cup, I think.
Yeah, that'll be. I mean, like other. I mean, I guess that's
an entirely.
Yeah, and that, I mean, I think it's an entirely different conversation. But man, like, can you imagine you're a top Liga MX talent that's eligible for the senior national team, and you could play the Gold Cup, you can play the Liga MX All-Star Game, you can play Leagues Cup, you can play CONCACAF Champions League, you can play, I mean, obviously some teams are eligible for one and not another, but you can play Gold Cup qualifiers, you can play friendlies, you played in the Nations League, you can play, you can play Campeones Cup, you can play Campeón de Campeones. It's just, it's an immense amount of, you know, work and schedule for some of these players. So hopefully they're not any serious injuries or whatnot, going forward. But
Messi
Messi, takes part in the Liga MX MLS All-Star game.
I'm sure there's,
just look at the calendar. It's crazy. If you think about it, you've got qualifiers, regular Liga MX, Nations League, CONCACAF, Nations League, no, CONCACAF Champions League, qualifiers. But this is despite this. I mean,
there's some game in the U.S. in there too. So just FYI, it's September. just throwing it in there.
MLS All Star. Yeah, that's crazy.
If you think
the summer was packed with soccer, just wait until next semester.
Everybody was, you know, we're not complaining. Obviously, the pandemic happened, but it's funny how I said, I'm like, man, remember last year? We're like, oh, I wish we had some football. Now it's kind of like, well, here you go.
I mean, I'm not complaining. I understand if we start getting like injuries and just players being really tired. I mean, it's got to be natural. So, yeah.
Really quick, when the last time a team that brought us B team, C, whatever, made the final. And I don't remember because Mexico didn't make it with Osorio when they were going to the Confederations Cup. The U.S. didn't make it. So that's what I'm saying. Like, when you bring your B team to the Gold Cup, you don't necessarily make the final. And that's why we've only had Mexico-U.S. finals 2007, 2009, 2011, and this one. The U.S. didn't make it 2015. And when they made it, it was 2019, right, when they both brought their team. So it's not as easy to just – bring your backup team for the Gold Cup final to make it to the Gold Cup. That's why I'm saying I don't think the U.S. will make it.
I mean, we'll see what happens. And yeah, like, as we mentioned, you can't take any of these opponents lightly. You could never really take a Honduras or a Panama, Costa Rica, Jamaica, Canada. You can't take them lightly anymore. The U.S. There are going to be some obstacles for Mexico once they reach the knockout round. Which
last time we went to penalty kicks with Costa Rica in 2019.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then
we had that terrible call against, what was it, Panama? Remember Guardado taking that penalty kick that he shouldn't have, and everyone was saying like, "No, you're supposed to miss it because it
no,
wasn't."
No, that
a
was 20. That wasn't that.
That was
2015.
Oh yeah, that was 2015.
Yeah, that's 2015. Right. 2015. Yeah, that's 2019. We struggled against some Caribbean team. Like,
didn't we lost 1-0 to Jamaica off a free kick?
It was Jamaica. Yeah, it was Jamaica.
It was Jamaica off a free kick. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And then. Yeah. Yeah, is it Haiti? Yeah, Haiti match in 2019. I think we barely beat Haiti, and then we went to penalties with Costa Rica. Yeah, Amy's here now. So you're saying Haiti match? yeah. So it's not like we're just gonna be a walk in the park. And just like the Nations League, like we went to penalty kicks with Costa Rica, right?
When you Mexico, just please make the final because I want to see that new Raiders stadium. It looks pretty cool. Looks dope.
I mean, let's go anyway. You know,
let's go.
Yes. Yeah. Correction, Kai 718. Yes, I meant Honduras. That the U.S. barely beat Honduras in the Nations League. Sorry, not Costa Rica.
Also, I completely forgot that Qatar was in this tournament. I forgot about that.
Copa America, so.
Yeah, that's right. They're supposed to be the Copa America too. Yeah, 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 yeah.
3-3. Yeah, yeah. So we'll see. All right. Let's. What do we expect? Mexico. Obviously, we wanted to make it to the final, but what us the two matches that we just witnessed in Nashville, 3-0 against Panama, 4-0 against Nigeria. Obviously, it's good to have the win. Obviously there's a lot of goals. I would say the opposition, especially Nigeria, was, you know, kind of, wasn't the best, but it's always good to start, a tournament going, you know, with a win. What do you think that Mexico needs, especially for this Gold Cup? If we want to talk about the positions, Cesar or Adriana, as far as what else is missing for... not necessarily one player, but I guess maybe the position for where we are. Where we really need somebody because.
I'm trying to think. Maybe we need someone stronger in like that leadership, that captain position. Not because, I think Herrera does it poorly, but I'm kind of used to having someone with a stronger personality in that role.
Leadership.
I'm used to having like a Rafa Márquez, Gerardo Torrado kind of role.
The other side. Rafa Márquez. No, it's true. That leadership is Guardado not being there, which I think he still will be with the team until what, the semifinals if that's what he's cleared, but
no, but they dropped him from the list.
Right? He's officially dropped. Unless if someone else suffers an injury, then I think they could potentially bring him back, but I don't know. They're allowed to do that, but as of right now, for the current list,
that's really gonna hurt all, you know, his records. I think he's up to 100, his games and his goals, and it could be the staple playing one more Gold Cup, taking penalty kicks and making them.
That's a good point. I think also something that I worry about, I'm not worried about it in the group stage, but I think in the knockout round, I still have my question marks over the defense. I'm not worried about goal scoring when you have Rogelio Funes Mori. I'm not worried when you have Chucky. I'm not worried when you have Tecatito. Obviously, Efraín Álvarez, like, as a backup, he can, you know, create some moments of magic. I think the midfield is good. I just don't know what that partnership should be in the back line for Mexico, and I worry about a tougher opposition in the knockout round. I worry about Moreno, who's, I don't know, just not looking like he has the same pace he used to have. He's looking a little bit slow. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if it should be Salcedo and Araujo, because obviously in my mind, that's an ideal partnership, but something hasn't clicked between the two of them in previous the games when the two of them playing together. Do you give Thiba that opportunity and have him start? I don't know. I don't know exactly who the two best central defenders should be, and I feel like I have some questions about each option, and I think of the knockout round, I don't know, against a tougher team, that might be a weakness, Veltri.
Isn't it weird that was usually the position we worried about less? I mean, it was just like a given, right? Years. You had Salcido and Massa and Marquez with Moreno or something, and it was just you knew that it was like a given, right? And then or like Osorio. I remember Osorio being right back, and then Salcido left back, and you had Moreno and Marquez probably.
Well, before we've always had pretty good defenders. I mean, from the Suarez to we've always, the Mexican defense. I think it was through Osorio when he came in, Juan Carlos Osorio is where we started seeing this gap after Rafa left.
I always thought Moreno was going to be the one to take over, right? It was just like a natural thing, like, oh, let's have Moreno, the guy that like went from Pumas and went to Europe, and it was just we thought that was going to be it, right?
Yeah, and it's just I think
so long.
Yeah.
So kind of like I'm with you there. So we have, and asking the chat, everybody in the chat, if you're worried about one thing with Mexico, what is it for the Gold Cup? And we'll read the responses. The leadership is something big. Herrera
he's okay, but he's not. Herrera was nervous making first choice.
Herrera was nervous making a speech yesterday or 2 days ago. He was like really nervous.
Drake did it really well. I'm really happy he's playing for the Olympics because he did it like he assumed that leadership role really well. Yeah.
He's done enough commercials and media stuff that
that was enough practice.
Yeah. I got a chance to talk after the games with Ochoa. Ochoa is super cool.
Yeah,
and he somebody asked him about his
birthday's
like,
coming up, by the way.
His hair, hair treatment. He's like, some fan asked him what this hair treatment. He was just talking about. Hector Herrera also pretty cool. But yeah, right now Hector Herrera would probably be captain. Someone in the chat said Chucky.
No, I think Chucky doesn't have personality.
Chucky still get. Is it just me? After he went to Europe, like the guy is just angry when he doesn't get the ball.
I like that though. I like someone
was really getting into him.
I like that though. Like, and sometimes, like even with some of the friendlies, like you can see some guys who'll be like, and justifiably will be like taking it easy, maybe not going in 100%. But Chucky like in friendlies, like. Fighting, pushing dudes, like yelling, like I like that. I think sometimes Mexico needs a dude like that. Obviously, sometimes that leads to an occasional yellow when he's like arguing with players or with refs. But I think that's good. I actually kind of like that about Chucky. As long as he doesn't get a red.
That anger as a leader would be awesome. Alex Vadillo 93 saying defense is the biggest worry, set pieces especially. Yeah,
that's
there's some stat out there that
a good point.
More goals out of set pieces now with Tata than Juan Carlos Osorio. So what else is worrying? Yeah, let's see. Alex La Rosa says defense, it really lacks pace. Would really like to see Joan Vasquez and Cesar Montes in the back moving forward. Don't mention Cesar Montes around Cesar because it's completely agree.
Yeah, I completely agree. And Johan Vasquez. I think they're both great players. I think that's the awkward thing too. It's just that obviously I think you can have some answers for some backup or starting positions here for L3 that are going to be, involved with the Olympics. So that's just kind of something to keep in mind too.
KY has a question. It said thoughts on Julian Araujo joining L3.
I mean that's not a guarantee. He just didn't get a well, who knows what happened behind the scenes, but he's not with the U.S. men's national team roster for the Gold Cup. I think it was Kevin Baxter or Delmi Barrios over.
Keep his options open, right? I think.
Yeah. Someone reported that he wanted to keep his options open. Obviously, he's eligible for L3. And I think that, sometimes you see some people arguing, just be like, oh, well, does that mean that now U.S. is better than Mexico? It's actually, no, the argument could be made that from Mexico's positions, I think one of the places where you have the most question marks in depth is right back. So I think there's a decent chance that Julian Araujo could get more minutes for L3 in the future than he would have the U.S. men's national team. But we'll see. I don't know.
We'll see. All right. So talking of Gold Cup, I think everyone here expects Mexico to win. If they don't win, especially with
the year. Losing Nations League and then losing the Gold Cup. My God, those are going to be some tense qualifiers.
And that's where.
And then we have like both games without fans in the stands. So
yeah,
without fans. I don't want to see that happen.
Jamaica's I don't remember what the qualifiers are. Jamaica, Canada?
Yeah, I think it's Jamaica and Canada. First Jamaica and then Canada.
It's Jamaica, Canada. We'll see. Yeah. We'll see. So yeah, it did. Giovanna says she wouldn't care if Mexico loses a Gold Cup. I would care, Giovanna. I would definitely care.
I would care, but above all, I'd be terribly worried.
Yeah. Oh, here's a question. Would we care if Mexico lose? Let's say they don't even make the final. They only make it to the semis. But
that's worse.
Okay, let's say they only make it to the semis. The Olympic team does okay.
Wins the gold.
No. So, say the Olympic team does okay, but
what's okay?
But they make it out of the group stage, but don't make it. They don't go far in the knockout round. But let's say Mexico then finishes first in World Cup qualifying in the, I guess it's the octagon now, as opposed to the hex. But if they qualify for the World Cup and they finish in first and they defeat the U.S. twice, like
okay, well now you make it.
So I guess
we think game well, we make it to the World Cup, but then we win the World Cup.
I wonder if they're going to win the World Cup.
We're starting Would You Rathers. Would you rather win the World Cup and lose all games against the U.S. for the rest of your life? Really, everybody on the chat right now, win a World Cup and lose games for the rest of your life to the U.S., yes or no?
Yes.
Oh, really? Wow.
I don't win a World Cup. Oh, my God. Yeah, we can just
You win anything. A World Cup, but then the U.S. beats you at every single game.
I don't care. We have a World Cup to shove in their faces.
That's true.
That's hard. You could just be like, hey, we got this. We got this.
Right, wait, so what
it's
about
so nice and pretty.
What about Mexico? Okay, what about if Mexico wins the World Cup, but then they don't beat the U.S. for 10 years?
No, forever. Oh, no, yeah. I'll take it. It's a World
for
Cup.
For 10 years?
It's a World Cup, yeah.
Okay.
This is why we don't, you know, this is why Amy left away with the, she left us all alone here on the show without a producer.
You get a holographic Charizard, but no. Mexico loses.
What if Mexico wins one World Cup, but then never goes to a World Cup again?
No. That'd be heartbreaking. That'd be so heartbreaking. No.
Yeah, because you won't forget about the World Cup, but that'll be like an entire generation that won't really know about the World Cup. We should go ask the English like this. Like you guys won a World Cup and you haven't won one since. What would you rather?
Real English vibes right now.
Yeah, see, Amy gets it. Yeah.
Can you imagine if we did qualify for future like World Cup, and when they expand it to like 50 teams, like we couldn't qualify. Let's expand it to almost everyone.
All I'm saying is it's hard to win two World Cups. It's hard to win one. Imagine
why am I bummed out? Mexico won two games. Why am I feeling bummed out right now? I'm feeling bummed out.
Well, it's not gonna happen. Hopefully Mexico wins the World Cup and we'll continue to go in and winning. It's gonna be a while. It's gonna be a while. I've already accepted. All right. So ideally Mexico wins this Gold Cup, right? Or else it's a failure. And it is. I know it is. Olympics, and we'll have an Olympic preview when it starts. Amy, it's coming home. the Gold Cup is coming home. Let's see. What is Mexico wins the World Cup, but you can never watch a game live in person TV or
what?
Radio ever
no.
again?
No. What?
Just watch a trick it instead.
How can I do my job? It's like, how can I continue my career?
You made it. You won the World Cup. It's over. Now we got to figure out what we're going to do for the rest of our life. Wait a second. But no one ever mentioned that the Femenil will continue winning.
Oh, there we go.
There it is. Okay, I brought it easy. Boom. I'll sign it. Go ahead.
Let's go.
I'll sign it. All right. All right. Just as lastly, because somebody said that there's English vibes right now. Giovanna has asked, where is it? Do you guys think Italy will win the Euros?
No, I think Italy's going to win.
Yeah, I'm going with Italy as well.
Oh, man. Oh, there you go. I'm going neither. Wait.
So,
Denmark?
Denmark. Let's go Denmark.
It is pretty. Yeah, it's kind of nice to root for Denmark, though. Hopefully they do.
Denmark. Right. Denmark, yeah. Denmark and Argentina win it. Denmark
and Argentina
will win.
Argentina's going to join all those teams that miraculously like ended their losing streak or their dry streak because of pandemic, you know? Sorry, Cruz Azul fans. I know it's not what you want to hear, but you had like the Dodgers, Cruz Azul.
You know what's funny? Is that the Suns had a were the worst team in the NBA before the pandemic, and then now they're in the NBA. It's true.
See, there's a thing about not having fans the whole time. I don't know. It's weird. Yeah, pandemic gave us like all these weird champions. Weird. Yeah.
It's not weird. All right. So the Olympics, and we'll have a whole show about the Olympics and what we expect. But where do you see them? What's a good showing out of the group stage? Quinto partido, semifinals.
Let me analyze the opponents like a little more because I don't know. Because I don't know what, because like I'm not entirely sure. I'm not gonna pretend as if I've like looked at Japan's team versus South Africa's team. Yeah.
Even if it's like, we expect Mexico to get out of the group stage. Like, now that's expected.
I guess that's the minimum goal. I guess without diving too much into the other, knowing too much about the other teams just yet, I think that's the minimum goal. But after that, I don't know. Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be really easy, to be honest. I think they're going to struggle. I mean, you've got Japan, the home team, South Africa. I mean, again, let's see, you have to look into them, but you've got France with Guignac.
Yeah.
And Tovan, which we haven't really seen. Guignac,
though. These guys already know. Salcedo. Oh, wait, he's not playing.
not easy.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah. No.
All right, we'll see. All right. Last of the news, we'll finish the show. Mr. JJ Macias gets to be finally official to Getafe, which we always applaud any players that move from Mexico, not only think about it, but also actually do it, is in Getafe and official. They announced him kind of cool with the whole game, right, with FIFA and adding players. That was kind of cool. Your thoughts, and not the greatest season for JJ Macias, not the greatest team, but it's still big.
I'm just glad he's getting the opportunity. Like,
yeah.
I wanted to get him like just have it because he just seems so distracted the whole time because of this. I mean, it's a good thing. I mean, obviously he wanted to go to Europe. So many players want to do that, but I think it was just something that was like just distracting him the whole time. So I just wanted to go. Hopefully he has a really great season, he'll stay. And then Chivas can kind of move on and hopefully find another striker, which again, if the national team can't find one, how is Chivas going to do that? But yeah, I just think it was something that was distracting him way too much.
Yeah, Chivas. He's in León. Like, it's what happened.
Yeah.
I mean, the first three games, Valencia, Sevilla, and Barcelona. Oh, man.
Boom, hat trick each game. Let's go. but it's huge, yeah, because we've been waiting for this moment for him for so long for him to, you know, make the leap to Europe. Yeah, he's not in the best rut of form right now, but we know the potential he has, and it's easy to forget that he's still only 21 years old. You know, this isn't a guy in his mid-20s or in his late 20s. He's still fairly young. We'll see how long he needs to recover from his injury. I'm not sure how serious that injury is, but yeah, I think like Adrian said, I'm just happy that he finally got that chance to go abroad, and hopefully he has a good season, because yeah, this is a loan it wasn't like he signed a four or five year contract with Getafe. It's just a loan, so hopefully he impresses. If it's not Getafe, maybe another European team will take a chance on him.
Definitely, it's good that this is a young player going into it in the striker position, right? Because we,
yeah.
I can't think. I mean, yeah, Chucky was there and he's kind of a forward, but he's not. Raul Jimenez, not like he left when he was young, you know. So this, now we have Diego Lainez, who again is not necessarily a true forward. You know, he's that hybrid. He's scoring goals, but he's more on the wing. When was the last time you saw a true forward leave at a young age to go score goals in Europe? Or at least attempt to, right? I think Chicharito.
I mean, I was gonna say Chicharito was the last one.
Yeah, it's probably Chicharito. Yeah, because he had Chicharito as well, but not a striker per se.
Yeah, which is 11 years ago, right? So I mean, that's 10 years ago. So it hasn't happened. We've been wanting more strikers, and Macias is the first one since Chicharito to leave, which I think it says bad because we're not exporting what we need, those strikers to get, you know, those. The time in Spain or Italy, England, anywhere in Europe, and have that great opposition against those defenders, right? And so I think this is huge. This is big. Hopefully he stays over there. You know, starter, who knows? It's bad Getafe.
Michel Nosen.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll see where he ends, what he does, and maybe moves on to another team or stays there and La Rompe again. 21 years old. We're not wanting him to be already, you know, because he's 26, he's at his peak. This guy still has 5-6 years before he's in top form. And if he's there, and it's only been a good thing. So that's huge.
Yeah, agreed. And yeah, agree. Hopefully, yeah, yeah.
I love the meme though, with you know, like Ralph like jumping in the window and saying, "Here we come, here come all the Mexicans."
That's a nice way of putting it. Is yeah, here we come. But
yeah. I just thought, I'm like, oh please, we're having a problem right now with that word.
Yeah, no. Here we come.
It is kind of cool how people like. I think it was like some of the major newspapers have like adopted it, but like made it PG rated. It's like cool. It's like I like the yeah, I like the, yeah. the PG yeah. PG rated like yeah, version of it. Yeah.
Well, because the thing is, it's so funny because it's like one of those things, like, why does Mexico win like online polls and stuff like that? Because we're just so massive. So I can just imagine like Getafe's community managers just being like, oh my God, we're getting all these followers. What are we going to do now?
They got 3,000 followers today. It was 142,000 followers.
Oh, it's good to like the start of the season, and they're going to have so many more.
145. Remember this, right? 145. Yeah, okay. Alex, but you follow Getafe. So did I. I'm like, oh, I guess I'm following Getafe now.
Yeah, I follow them as well. I mean, obviously, we have to know with the job and everything, but still, you just want to see what they're up to.
Just wait until he scores a goal.
Betis. I didn't follow Betis before, like Linus and Guardado and everybody else joined.
Betis
so
has been my childhood. I love Betis now. All right. Cool. All right. Well, thanks, everybody. If we didn't get to your questions, we're really, really sorry. But there's a lot of people on the chat today. Thank you to Giovanna, who's keeping us. It's definitely a very long time listener. I think there was a U.S. fan that said, hey, I'm a U.S. fan, long time listener and love the show.
Oh, thanks, man.
Hello. Congratulations on your win, U.S. fan. All right. Cool. We missed you, Amy, even though you're on the chat. So we got Gold Cup coming up. We'll be doing some stuff with the Mexican Soccer Show with Gold Cup. Stay tuned. Right. And I know 2 years ago we did the Gold Cup daily, trying to see if we can continue that. And then, let's see what happens at the Gold Cup. I'll be at the game in Dallas. Not sure if I'm staying for the other two games, just trying to figure out. But keep the coverage. It was Adriana's birthday this week.
Yeah. Whoa!
Happy birthday.
Happy 21st.
Thank you, guys. it wasn't Saturday.
Did you get a chance to get some quesadillas sin queso?
That's an issue down here. it was a nice quiet family lunch because things are not as great as we thought they would be at this point over here with COVID and such. So it was nice and quiet, but still really nice. So thank you guys.
Cool. Well, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
All right. Oh, thank you so much. If you're listening to us, thank you. There you go. Happy birthday.
Thank you
for listening to us. If you're on the Apple Podcast or on Spotify, or you join the live show, we'll continue to do these live shows. And we'll say we will. Starting next Monday, we'll, especially through the Gold Cup. All right. Lots of Mexico game. And, thank you again. Nos vemos. Hasta la próxima.